You're listening to Reflections, the wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm Art Ray. Today's guest is Danian Brinkley. Danian Brinkley is the best-selling author of Saved by the Light, the story of his incredible near-death experience, and his latest bestseller, co-authored with his wife, Catherine, The Secrets of the Light, Spiritual Strategies to Empower Your Life Here and in the Hereafter. Since the fateful evening in 1975, when he was struck by lightning, Danian has been on an incomparable spiritual odyssey. Today, he is revered as one of the greatest orators of our time, offering a message of great hope and courage to audiences worldwide. To read more about Danian Brinkley, go to www.danian.com. That's DANNION.com. Now, you have had three near-death experiences yourself.
One death and two near-death experiences.
I see. Wow. Well, let's start with the first one. Could you tell us about it?
September 17th at 7.05 p.m. on a Wednesday afternoon during a thunderstorm in Aiken, South Carolina. I was struck by lightning while talking on the telephone. The lightning came down the phone line. It went in the side of my head just above my ear, went down my spine, welded the nails of the heels of my shoes to the nails in the floor. That's what kept me from exploding. Threw me in the air, suspended me in the air, and threw me back down on the bed.
Wow.
Dead for 28 minutes, completely paralyzed for 6 days, partially paralyzed for 7 months, 2 years to learn to walk and feed myself. But in the course of it, I had what is now known as a near-death experience. In those days, it didn't have a name.
Oh, no.
Dr. Raymond Moody had not written his landmark book, Life After Life, who coined the phrase, a near-death experience. So, I'm some redneck from South Carolina, former Marine, with no deep-rooted religious consciousness, no deep-rooted esoteric or spiritual consciousness, who all of a sudden discovers that there are multidimensional realities, that there is a level of consciousness that's filled with love and light, that there is a process by which you leave this world that is now known as the near-death experience. And Sanjay Gupta just wrote a book that estimates that 863 people per day in America report some form of this near-death experience, and the basic similarities are there. But I had it, Art, when there was no place to turn, and I had to live with the patterns of what this experience was, and I had to rethink my whole life. So when you lift out of your body and you look around and you see you're no longer a part of this physical world, and you're in another world and you're more radiant and more vibrantly alive and aware, you're just not aware that you're dead because of all the illusions that you have been taught to believe that that's what it is, that death is some odd, freaky, scary place. Instead, you're comfortable. You feel safer there than any place, and then a tunnel forms, and I'm on the way to the hospital, and, you know, I go to the emergency room. The paper said, patient unconscious, patient not breathing, no EKG.
Wow.
Well, if you're unconscious and you're not breathing and you have no heartbeat, I don't really know what you call that. But they covered me with a sheet and rolled me in a room because they were really busy that night because of the electrical storm in the emergency room. But when you move down this tunnel and you come in this place of bright, brilliant, beautiful light, it's a silvery, shimmery place. I had no background, no basis, and knowing me growing up, if there was anybody that was going to meet me at the end of the tunnel, it would have been the devil. Because I was your prime candidate for hell. Because if anybody was going, it was going to be me. There's no question about it. And I come to this place and I see this shimmering light, and I see this being that's wondrous, that imparts such safety, and I know the being. You know, people say Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad, Allah, Krishna, Madri. We all have these names. But the familiarity with this being and the safety of that being, you know, I believe that it's a different person. I mean, And when we do the program on September the 11th, I will reveal who I think that person is. But then you have a panoramic life review. You know, you always hear about the great book of judgment. You hear that all things are written, the Akashic records, all of this stuff. Well, there is a system there. You see your whole life pass before you in a 360-degree panorama. You watch everything.
And so every moment of your life.
Every second. Wow. And here's how wild it is, Art. Every breath. Breathing in is a complete different world than breathing out. And we don't ever think about that because it's an autonomic response in breathing. But you, the breath that you breathe in has a whole different perspective to it than the breath that you breathe out. And I was amazed at the wonderment of what life is. And you see everything pass before you. Then you watch it from a second-person point of view, as if you were your own best friend, looking at the choices that you made. And then you literally become every person that you've ever encountered. And you feel the direct results of your interaction between you and every person. You get to be them.
So it gives you a hugely different perspective on your actions.
100%. Well, a lot of times it does, and then sometimes it doesn't. Because it's never what you do, it's why you were doing it. A lot of times, because our heart was in the right place, we may have given the wrong advice. But we get to see the after effect. How you feel about that was based on your intention. So people have to remember from the beginning, it's never what you do, it's why you're doing it that counts. And it's not the things that you planned out, it's the spur of the moment, the little tiny loving gestures that we as spiritual beings do. And once you've had that, you realize that there is a fair and just universe, and forgiveness becomes a very powerful force, because no one's ever going to get away with hurting you or ever feeling the joy of it making you happy. And then comes judgment. And judgment is this, and this is a Danianism. If God couldn't come today, and God sent you, in the life you just reviewed, what difference did God make? And when people grab that art and they get a grip on it, it's life-changing. It's what changed my whole life. All the other things that happened in this near-death experience, you know, the visions of the future, the things that have come true, some of the things that came partially true, the things that made me, you know, that made Saved by the Light an international bestseller, those were not as important to me as the panoramic life review. Because what happens, this is the point that this is what is over there that you can bring back over here. And it's the basis of how I structure my presentations and my lectures, because I need people to live. So based on the panoramic life review, I became a hospice volunteer. I've now been a hospice volunteer for 26 years. I have accrued more than 26,000 hours at the bedside. I choose basically veterans because I am one myself.
Oh, yes, I've heard about your Twilight Brigade. I used to be a chaplain assistant in the Army. And
Be blessed.
Oh, thank you. I was assigned to Walter Reed. And there was a lot of, this was in 2003, and a lot of suffering people were coming through there. So it's really valuable what you're doing with that.
Well, what we all do, Art, is we find something that if God couldn't come today and God sent us, then what difference would God make? Well, I find it being at the bedside of PTSD and double amputees and desperate people who's probably lived a life because no one's ever treated it properly. You know, the government avoids so much of that stuff. And you have so many guys who have shell shock or a battle fatigue, and now they call it post-traumatic stress syndrome or disorder. And I find that that fulfills me, you know. And if God couldn't come today and God sent me, then at the bedside of those people, and I make a difference. And I'm going to be them seeing me come to see them for no other reason other than that I care about their life as value. And so then from that I created the Twilight Brigade, which is now one of the largest end-of-life care volunteer programs for dying veterans. I mean, it's in its 14th year in a memorandum of understanding with the Veterans Administration. and I'm helping to coordinate the standardized end-of-life care model for veterans in transition. That I'm very proud of, because from a guy who would have a near-death experience that could position himself to be one of the coordinators of end-of-life care across the board for veterans, it's a long way to come from something in those days was just woo-woo. So now it's a part of a paradigm that I'm going to help these veterans.
Mm-hmm.
So once you have this, there are multidimensional realities. The multidimensional concept of science and quantum physics, now we have proven that there are other dimensions because of the studies being done with tachyons and with neutrinos and antimatter, these subatomic particles that move in and out of this reality.
Mm-hmm.
They're in this reality, then they disappear, and then they come back, and you can not only measure them, you see it's the identical particle.
We'll be right back with more with Danny and Brinkley on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Danny and Brinkley.
So all of a sudden, with the near-death experience, when everybody tried to disavow it, this is a real part of our lives. And I am really proud that ARE takes this mantle on to face it and to look at it and to take people like PMH Atwater, who I know really, really well. And I'm not this other guy that we're doing it with. I'm not really, or I don't really know of his work. But the ARE should be really, really proud, because they're stepping up to the plate. And with 13,000 baby boomers turning 60 years old every day,
mm-hmm.
and we are the largest group of expanded consciousness in Western history, that means more people were born between 1946 and 1967 than in any other time in history. We were 77 million born in America, and with the people who have migrated from other countries, there's 81 million people who are looking at this issue and who are losing loved ones, relatives, parents, children, aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters. And the ARE should be really, really proud. I'm a big fan of the research that has continued since Edgar and his work, and I've known a lot of the Cayces.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really, really proud that you guys are doing this.
Well, thanks.
We're all going to be hospice volunteers one day, no matter what. Because if you took the first breath, you will take the last breath. Everybody who breathed in will breathe out. And there will be one breath that will never take another breath in.
Mm-hmm.
Either you or someone you love. So by stepping up to the plate with courage and taking this subject on face forward to help inform the members and those who invite other people to come, it is now time to prepare. You know, it's time for us to stop, take the leap of faith, look at people who've had this experience, look at the people who've dealt with this experience, and to gather the information you need so that you can help to make the right choices for those who you love and make the right choices for yourself. Then I came back and I spent years wandering out of in and out of these dimensions. You know, I've never, I always make this statement, that dead people don't know I'm not dead. So I live in a world surrounded by those people who are in various stages of transition from this world to the next. And I'm not afraid of the issue. I have no fear. 3 years later, I got struck by lightning again, talking on the telephone, which means I didn't learn.
Wow. Yeah. Wasn't it the same house?
Different house.
Wow.
I never went back into the room where I was struck. I never went back there.
Mm-hmm.
And I never would sleep in there. I never would go in there. And I sold the house. I couldn't. Too much PTSD.
Oh, yes.
Whenever a thunderstorm comes, you know, I'm not really afraid of thunder and lightning. I just stay in the closet till it passes.
Yeah.
And then I got struck by lightning again, talking on the telephone. It just slammed me against the wall and knocked me unconscious for about 45 minutes, but no near-death experience. And then 9 years later, because of damage done to my heart by struck by lightning, I had to have open heart surgery.
Hmm.
And they said if I made it 9 months, because I couldn't have a heart transplant, that would be a miracle. But here I am 21 years later.
Hmm.
And then 7 years after that, I had to have brain surgery. And they gave me an 8% chance of survival because I had the brain surgery, and I spent 41 hours in recovery.
Goodness.
Because they couldn't bring me back. And then I came out of that, and I had a massive grand mal seizure and had to be put in the neurocardiac ward on life support. But I've had three of these experiences, and they each had the same basic structure. So there is a pattern by which you leave this world, so there has to be a pattern by which you enter this world.
Hmm.
And so through each of these experiences, I write books about it.
You know, yes.
And those books, Saved by the Light, At Peace in the Light, and The Secrets of the Light. And now the one I'm working on right now is 10 Things You Need to Know Before You Go.
And when will that be released?
Well, that's up to Harper.
Ah. Hmm.
But it'll be a great book. But The Secrets is probably the, you know, I wanted to write a trilogy because I'm just an everyday guy, Art, who had this happen to him, who's not afraid, who has been around since it began.
Mm-hmm.
And I know everybody who's ever had anything to do with the study of the near-death experience.
Hmm.
And so I like to write stuff for everyday people who are just like me.
That's the most valuable book, the type that doesn't try to use eloquent language or try to make things too technical to keep it above you. When it relates it to you, that's a lot more valuable.
I think so. I mean, you know, I don't know any eloquent language, but I'm a guy who had this experience, who began obsessed with understanding it, and not only just understanding it, who has 26,000 hours at the bedside of people who are dealing with it, who have no idea, and trying to find closure between them and their families. And I would have to say that there are very, and this is total arrogance, let me qualify it, that there are very few people on this earth that know more about that process than me. There's people who know as much,
mm-hmm.
but there's very few who know more about it. And what I'm hoping for is a lot of questions. You know, I'm still once again proud of ARA because they are taking on the scariest esoteric and real issue that you can take on. And if it's anything like the work that ARA is doing and the kind of things that they research and going back and look at Eggers' formulas for health care, you know, his ideas and concepts that came through the through his dream states about how to do healing. These are remarkable results, especially in today's world of looking at what healthcare is and how now we can scientifically look at the results of what his concoctions were and see they were not only viable, they were very healing in their application.
Oh, yes.
I'm a big fan, Art. The studies of Casey were one of the things that I had to look at because I had no idea. I went from, and I always make this statement, one day I never believed any of this. The next day I was dead. And the day after that, I became everything I never believed in.
That's a huge transition.
Yeah, I went from what utter nonsense to, wow, how does this work?
Well, when did you first learn about Edgar Cayce?
Oh, probably in 1977.
Hmm. Wow, so it's soon after you had
Well, you start to look at what America looks at in trying to understand esoteric. You know, these worlds where it's not just reality is physical.
Mm-hmm.
We now know that reality is only 5%, physical reality is only 5%. The atom is the basic component of all physical matter, and if you look at an atom under an electron microscope, it's 94.6% empty space.
Oh, yes.
So that means that reality will never be more than 5% of reality. The physical is only 5% of reality, so it will never be more than 5%. So this, all the other works are in the 94.6, and I have chosen to live and study there.
Could you tell us about visions of the future you have had?
Well, the collapse of the Soviet Union, the collapse of the American Empire, which we're already in,
mm-hmm.
The evolution of where we are today. We're at the precipice of world peace or world war. And if we don't be really, really careful and we don't get our boundaries outlined, you know, our real boundaries outlined, which is what I'm proud that ARE is doing, we will be in a world war. And it will be what we call democracy against religion. You know, Islamic fundamentalist terrorist against democracy, or capitalism against religion. And it could start any day. I mean, it could start any day. And if we don't put our ducks in a row or put our house in order, then the world that we're already given to our children and our grandchildren is a complete failure by we as spiritual beings and human beings in America. Look what we're doing to our children and grandchildren. They'll never pay the debt. It'll never happen. So there is a new world order and a new world and a new way of life to monetize our existence. We will never pay the debt. I saw all of this. I saw it and wrote it down in 1977, and it became a part of Saved by the Light, and it has a 20-year history before that, because when I was first describing the near-death experience to the researchers Raymond Moody and Ken Ring and Melvin Morris and Bruce Grayson and George Ritchie and Raymond Moody, all those early researchers, I didn't know that you weren't supposed to tell everybody everything, Art. Some things you should keep to yourself. But I had never heard of this experience, and Raymond is a not only a genius, but Raymond has a style of asking questions that you tell more than you should, you know? And so I realized that a lot of fame came from that, but it's not so important. That's not so important as that there's a process by which you leave this world. And as we understand that, we begin to really look at our actions and our deeds, and we change the parameters and purposes for why we're doing what we're doing. And if we don't, we will put the world that we live in peril. I think one of the biggest crises, and I almost term it as evil, is the way we live and the way that we pass from this world.
We'll be right back with more with Danny and Brinkley on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Danny and Brinkley.
I think one of the biggest crises, and I almost term it as evil, is the way we live and the way that we pass from this world. Because there is never closure. Very few relationships between either those who are leaving and those who are staying behind. They never have closure. It does not close. You hand it over. The doctor says you have to leave the room. The minister goes in and prays with them. That's not creating closure. It's one of my rallying cries. Our process of how we leave this world and the nature of how we've allowed health care to become God is leaving a lot of hollow space and a lot of unfulfilled realities for those who are leaving and for those who stay behind. And I'm dedicated to changing that paradigm. I'm going to do it.
Change the way hospitals deal with someone who's passing. You involve the family more?
I'm doing it in the VA now.
Oh, that's good.
Wow. I am doing it now. It's not something I plan to do in the future. It's something I dedicated my life to 35 years ago because of what happened to me. And then after going through three of these in 22 years and then spending tens of thousands of hours studying it at the bedside, not after it happened but during it, then I see what has to be changed. That's why I'm writing 10 Things You Need to Know Before You Go. Because if you know it before you go, you're going to change your life and you're going to live it. As opposed to waiting to the end to try to decide upon it.
Yes. I have to mention something about that, your prediction of the USSR or the Soviet Union falling, that you did that not 1 year or 5 years before. It was a bit longer than that, before the signs started that they were...
1975.
Yes.
I wrote this down in early 1976. All of these predictions were written in 1976. I had notebooks filled with all these things. I even predicted that I wrote in 2002 that oil by 2008 would hit $150 a barrel.
Oh, yes.
And, okay, you know, you can go and find all these things. I mean, there's so many things on the Internet about me. Some are really, really good, and some are really, really bad, but most of the really bad ones aren't true. And people always say, Daniel, why don't you ever defend yourself? I don't care. The only people that I answer to is people who have more hours at the bedside than me. If you got more hours at the bedside of those than I do, then I am answerable to you. And if you don't, I have no interest in what you have to say.
That's the nature of the Internet, that anyone has a loud voice who desires to type. And the problem is a lot of those voices are very uninformed.
And they're afraid. I'm not anti-Internet. I'm supporting what everybody says and whatever they believe. I mean, everybody has a right to believe what they believe. But after going through three of these experiences and the hundreds of thousands of dollars it's cost me to stay alive and the pain that I live in literally every day from it, I don't care. People are stupid, and some people are brilliant, but, you know, who cares? I like to read some of the stuff myself, Art.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, I laugh.
It's good to be discerning when you're reading those, and some of them might be actual skeptics who are open-minded, and some might be skeptics who refuse to believe anything.
Then they need to buy a ticket, and they need to come to the program in September in Virginia Beach at ARE and face me. You know, talk's cheap. Come on down and bring your most skeptical mind or your most open heart. You know, because I am there and I will be there.
And you're open to questions and discussion.
Absolutely. I make it a part of my entire presentation. Because some people ask, Art, some of the grandest questions that you could ever possibly imagine. And some people say the dumbest stuff you could possibly hear. But my heart is opened. I mean, I have seen the world after this one. And I dedicated my life to helping people understand it, and I study it every day. And I know that PMH is the same way. I mean, she has a little more radical side about it than I do, because I guess because she studies what happens, and then she looks at the overview of what people are doing and how the near-death experience is being researched and studied. But I just deal with it one-on-one. I'm the guy on the ground. I'm the guy that's researching it in the last hours of their life. And some of these relationships I've developed over years. And because they go into the nursing home, you know, the VA, you have the primary care hospital, and then you go to you go into either rehab or you go into a nursing home, either state or federal nursing home, and then you have hospice.
Yes.
So because I work in 11 different VAs and I primarily work in four in different parts of the country, I get a chance to see the VA's processing and how they're building it and how they're doing it. And I develop relationships with these people.
Wow. Well, do you do readings for others?
Sure.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, it's easy. What happens is when you've gone through this, and I always tell people, when you've been struck by lightning, you get a little rewired. When you get struck by lightning twice, you get a little more rewired. When you realize that you're not going to die, there's no such thing, and then you realize that hell is some foolish concept that somebody created, then what happens is you develop a sense about yourself. I can listen to the tone in a person's voice. And remember, every organ has its own frequency. And in a voice, some the Hindus call it the mantra. And then I listen to a verb, how a person conjugates that verb. It tells me their action and intent. And then I see like videos, like if you're going to the movie and you're going to see all those trailers about the movies that's coming before you see the main movie. And I see things like that because the spiritual world knows I mean no harm. And I'm always trying to help people. I developed this skill because I don't have time to listen to a person's entire history to figure out how to create closure between those who are leaving and those who stay behind. And by being able to sit quietly and to focus on that voice and to hear the nature of what they're trying to do, I get access to the information that gives me what it takes to help that person. And when my wife, I see so many people around the country because I do presentations all over the world, and I look at it, audiences between 300 and 2,000 people, and I cannot hug all of them, Art, and I cannot hold them. And if I hear a person's voice, I see things and sense things about them, and I could never really get to them. That's why I always love book signings, because I can get personal. And so Catherine, my wife, who is my co-author, Catherine said, look, let's just open up and let's allot a certain amount of time in the course of a week and give you that satisfaction of really helping people one-on-one. So we created that those times. They're not I don't do an enormous amount of them, but I create a place that people can come, you know, and you have to have your seven questions. You have to ask me questions because when I first started, I would just start telling people their business. But it's only based on my intention, not theirs. So people need to have questions. You know, ask me specific questions. A lot of times people come through. You know, a lot of times people, I don't really target that, but it still happens. And then a lot of times how to structure your life based on the life review. And how to deal with issues, especially when people get really overwhelmed. And I'm an objective point of view, and I listen to them from the perspective of them as a spiritual being and what choices that they're making and a lot of stuff that I could never think of. I mean, I have a lot of, you know, I think I'm a pretty smart person, not very bright, but pretty smart. And my intellectual self a lot of times argues with my intuitive self. But I've learned that my intuitive self is a lot smarter than me.
Oh, goodness.
So I quit arguing with my intuitive self. And so every time I can find a way that I can open my heart and I can take the knowledge I've gained over 35 years and I can help my world, people in my age group, I'm 60 years old, I'm one of those people. But what most people are afraid of, Art, I have no fear. I have no fear about death, and I have no fear about what happens after this life. And in the course of all of this, I realize these things. I don't care who you are. Unless you've had one of these experiences, there will be four things that you will deal with. And when you realize that the end is near, number one, you will be angry. Number two, you'll wonder if you're going to hell. Number three, you'll wonder if you're going to heaven. Number four, you'll wonder if there's absolutely nothing after this.
We'll be right back with more with Danny and Brinkley on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Danny and Brinkley.
Number four, you'll wonder if there's absolutely nothing after this. And no matter what the preacher says and the priest says or your friends say or anyone says, these four things you will deal with on your own separately when you're by yourself. So after listening to thousands of people, I know that these are the four things. So in the course of my presentations, I engage each of those because I know you're going to be there, and I know that someone you love or someone who loves you is going to be there. And then I teach how do you deal with it. Most people don't know what to do, Art.
Mm-hmm.
And they just stand around looking, talking about the weather. Well, a person who's leaving this world doesn't give a damn about the weather.
Oh, yes.
We have to be meaningful. We have to be supportive. We have to have techniques that we use to know that we've created closure and that we've done something that helps that person to make their life more meaningful.
You have a lot of experience at the bedside of people who have passed. Have you heard anything about pre-death experiences, visions people see before they die?
Sure.
Is there anything to that? Have you experienced that or noticed that?
Well, a lot of people talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people talk about going down the tunnel.
Oh, yes.
But I believe that once that veil begins to lift, Art,
mm-hmm.
the veil begins to lift, all of these things are possible. And if a person has some knowledge or background that deals with these issues, then everything is possible. I have not encountered many pre-death visions. I mean, but there are people who are very intuitive and empathic
mm-hmm.
that would have this anyway. It's just now coming to light. And there are many people who have had partial experiences who didn't have to be the person in transition to know about the tunnel and know about the radiant beings and to see that, and who have dealt with that. I mean, I have no doubt that this happens because it's happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I've been with 379 people when they took their last breath over the last 30 years. I would say 18 of those, I had an experience that was outside of the normal transition, from seeing them lift out of their bodies to seeing beings of light come into the room, to see people having conversations with who they call their mom or their dad or their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
I could see the being or the silhouette outline of that person. Now, since I am so obsessive compulsive, I would have to say that of that 18, 5 are suspect.
Oh, yes?
I could have been really tired. You know, I could have been in a dreamlike state. I could have been dozing off because it's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always questioning. But 13 of those are unequivocally and absolutely the truth.
What is your website so that people can find out more?
It's just danion.com, danion.com. And there's, mm-hmm. you know, you can just type in Danion. And you'll find 200,000 or 300,000 places, some good and some bad, but I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
What I really care about is people taking the time to appreciate what ARE, Association of Research and Enlightenment, is trying to do.
Hmm.
They're trying to pull together people who have a certain amount of credibility in this field to help people learn how to deal with these issues.
And now for an update on the conferences taking place at the ARE headquarters in Virginia Beach, Virginia. From September 10th to the 12th, Danion Brinkley and PMH Atwater on the Near-Death Experience, Visions of Eternity. From September 24th to the 25th, Psychic Intelligence, an Advanced Psychic Training Intensive. Find your best way to access and trust your inner psychic. To learn more about these and other upcoming conferences, go to edgarcasey.org, click on Events, and then click on Conferences. It's time for the Thought for the Day, and today's Thought for the Day will be read by Kimberly Rose, who has a CD out called Connecting to Your Higher Self. Well, hello.
Hello.
And what is today's Thought for the Day?
Today's thought for the day is reading 10893. Know that no influence surpasses the will of the entity. Make that will then one with that which is the entity's ideal. And I love that because there's nothing that is influenced outside your own will. We all have our own free will. And to me, this is about trusting also that other people, that everything that people do, and that we need to respect our own self, and always when we are living in that connection with oneness, and we are truly, truly understanding our connection to God, we too can live that. And they say, thy will be done. It's like in the Lord's Prayer. I think the will has a lot to do with that spiritual part of each of us.
Oh, yes. When Jesus was praying in the garden and under all that stress, he prayed for the ordeal he was going to go through to pass from him if it could. But he said, your will be done. And even though we might be going through something that we know is going to be horrible and want to choose another path, if that's the path we're supposed to go on, we should accept that God's will is right, because
yes.
It's not like God is going to do the wrong thing. It's good to ask, you know, it's just like asking your parents, you know, I'd like that candy bar. But if that's the fifth candy bar you have that day, then that would be the wrong thing. And they would say no. And you have to accept sometimes we want things that would not be good for us. And we have to hand that over to God and hand our requests over to him with that caveat, your will be done, because
yes.
Our requests may not be right all the time.
And that takes a lot of faith. And
oh,
that's
yes.
the most, it's so important.
It's so
I
hard to
that.
Hand it. Yeah, it's difficult to hand it over to someone else when you think, oh, I know what I want. I know
or
what
I
need.
And I can do it better for them. I can make sure that it gets done right and they won't have to worry. But then we're really not practicing what Edgar Cayce really wanted us to practice. And Jesus also asked us to practice. It's about oneness. I mean, if we're truly honoring ourselves and the people around us, then we honor that they also have a role in everything.
Oh, yes. All right. Well, thanks for doing the thought for the day today.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for the show today. Thanks to Danny and Brinkley for talking to us about near-death experiences. You can find out more at danian.com. That's www.danion.com. Thanks also to Kimberly Rose for the thought for the day, and most of all to you, the listener. Thanks for listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce.